Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. We have a whole bunch of donuts that have like red and green sprinkles all over them. We're all super excited. We have angel food cake. We have all kinds of really, really good stuff here. Tis the season. Merry Christmas, everybody. And I'm sitting here with Ziggy Rodriguez.
Merry Christmas!
Yes, and we also have a Venerable Tom Dorian.
Hello.
Who's still venerable even in the Christmas season.
Yes,
we love Christmas around here. All the
doesn't?
Treats.
Ho,
yeah.
Ho, ho.
Exactly right. Well, okay, that was really good.
Right, so
I was talking to somebody just a bit ago, and they were talking about this show. And they said, like, who's the guy that laughs so loud?
That's me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's you. You've come to be known as the loud laugher.
The guy that laughs so loud.
He laughs loud. He laughs loud and louds and loudly and often or whatever. Anyway, so it's Christmas. And also, though, because of the way the season and the days aligned, we are celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family.
Yes.
Right? So we find ourselves the weekend after Christmas. And so people are still kind of in line taking their gifts back that they didn't like or that didn't fit or whatever.
I hate that process.
I do too. So I just burn them. We just ceremoniously burn anything that doesn't fit. And it's just we offer it up and we just, it's a little tradition that we have.
I believe it. I can say it.
Actually, we stop buying things that fit or don't fit. Then nothing has size. If it has a size, you don't get it for Christmas. Because
right.
It just alleviates all the problem.
Yeah.
Instead, you have just a bunch of stuff. It's like, why do I have this? Mm-hmm. Why did you buy me that? Because it didn't have a size.
Right.
And so that's why you got it. Anyway, we love Christmas. And also, I love the fact that the Feast of the Holy Family falls right after Christmas. Because Christmas is one of those most family-oriented times.
Totally.
When we all gather together. People come from far and wide to come together as a family somewhere. And I think it's a very appropriate time to celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family. It may actually be because it may be the other way around, that the Feast of the Holy Family is part of this Christmas thing. In fact, to launch us into this conversation about the Holy Family, I wanted to read, because the fourth Sunday of Advent in year A, I love that particular gospel reading that speaks of the Holy Family. And then, of course, on the Feast of the Holy Family, we've got the Exodus, right? We got Joseph receiving the angel of the Lord in a dream saying, hey, pick up the kid, get your wife, you get it out of here. You just got to go. You got to go, right? You'll understand later. I'll talk to you in the next dream,
right?
Which, by the way, is awesome because, guys, when you take naps, right, and your wife says, why are you taking a nap? It's like, I'm listening to God.
Right.
Right? It's okay. So it's a good thing.
I'm getting messages here.
Yeah. So, the whole Advent season really is prepping us, obviously, for Christmas, right? We know Advent leads us into Christmas. But at the end of the day, it's focused on the family. It's focused on our gathering, the way we're supposed to live in life, right? It's not just simply a relationship with Jesus Christ, which it is, but it's in the context of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And so we start having, I love, like in the fourth Sunday of Advent, the gospel reading, which is from Matthew chapter 1, verse 18, excuse me, is where it starts. Where it simply says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. And a lot of people might think, like, well, why are we hearing that the fourth Sunday of Advent?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a Christmas reading, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, but again, they're tied together. And fourth Sunday of Advent, it's very appropriate to start talking about Tom's gin and tonic. It's like, it's kind of early in the morning, Tom, for gin and tonic.
But it's mainly just gin.
But it is Christmas.
Hey, it's the Christmas season. Come on.
Just a touch of Tom and tonic to keep the malaria away.
Well, he found out it's good for his hair. It's good for his hair.
Yeah.
When
y'all
is malaria?
Y'all are going to start drinking that now.
Yeah, when my glaucoma acts up. Yeah, I'm sorry. We're going down the wrong path. This is bad.
That's on you, man.
We are celebrating too much. But anyway, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. That reading, and I don't want to read the whole thing, but basically it goes through the story of Mary being betrothed to Joseph, and before they were lived together, found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, you know, since he was a righteous man, he didn't want her to be put to shame, and so he's going to divorce her quietly. And but then an angel Lord comes in his dream and says, "Don't do that. Don't be afraid, because this is something of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is going to be born. You're going to name him Jesus, and he's going to save his people from their sins." And so I love that. And at the end of the day, I've always asked this question. We've done shows on it before, but I cannot. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, because it really just ratifies why we have families. Because we're called together into a family. And think about this for a second. Joseph was not biologically necessary to the equation, right? And so there was no real reason. If we're talking about miracle births, and we're talking about these things, at the end of the day, Joseph wasn't necessary. In fact, he was getting ready to go to let her go, to send her off, to divorce her quietly. But God said no. Right. And I always wondered, like, why? Why did that matter? If Joseph didn't matter, so obviously Joseph does matter, right?
Right. I mean, God's sufficient unto himself. I mean, really, he could have done. He's not. In a strictest sense, even dependent upon Our Lady, you know what I mean?
That's right.
And yet he chose to work through Our Lady and her fiat and through the Holy Family to bring about this plan of salvation.
And this is part of Jesus humbling himself, coming down and to be with us as one of us.
Yes.
Right, and that's very powerful. But also, in the context of a family. We know, like, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph to be the Holy Family.
Yeah.
And God desired that Jesus, who's our salvation, would be born in the context of a family, with a father and a mother. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the way I've always seen this. I think the church sees it that way as well. That this is why this Holy Family is essentially a model for all families, for all time, all places, all over the world, all people. Everyone is called, and you'll stop and think about this, but certainly theologians, sociologists, historians, they'll all tell you that there is no society that doesn't have a family.
Right.
Right? There's no society that exists or has ever existed for more than a couple of years, right? Unless there are this idea of a man and a woman fall in love and then they have a baby, right? And they stay together as a unit, as a family, and are faithful and loyal to one another. And they raise that child, educate that child. That is the model, the basis for all of human society. And also, if you stop and think about it, if we're made in God's image and likeness, this pattern, we are patterned after God in a Trinitarian way, who revealed himself as a family of persons. Mm-hmm. And so this idea of us being in family is perfectly natural, and it's designed by God. And so I love, that's why, and then, so that's, we hear that and the fourth Sunday of Advent, and then we go to Christmas and we celebrate the birth of Jesus, and then the Feast of the Holy Family comes on the, and kind of bookends Christmas and how beautiful that is. Then we start saying, like, okay, we're going to celebrate this family now and family life. And that should put in perspective all the things that that we should be doing as a family.
Well, if you think about it, we hear the phrase that the Word has taken on flesh in our Lord Jesus, right? And there's a lot of ways that we could spend time on what that means. But a lot of times people have this connotation with the word flesh where they think, like, sins of the flesh. So you think of flesh equals, like, a mode of sinfulness, right? But our Lord took
on... It's a burden. It's something to overcome.
Right. But he took on flesh without sin, right? And so ultimately, you know, I think a more clear-cut way of describing it is he took on sort of the mode by which human beings are born into this physical universe that's subject to laws. He himself subjected himself to the same rules and laws by which human beings come about, and generally, I mean, obviously they skip the physical act with regard to his conception.
Yes and no, because at the end of the day, there's something beautiful about a man and a woman in love and married.
Yes.
Right? And that the spirit is present, right?
Yes.
Three to get married.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so there is something that's beautiful and grace-filled in the man and the woman coming together in the marital embrace.
Yes.
And then the gift that comes out of that union.
Right. And I think ultimately, so what God is doing is, you know, if you look at our Lord and coming in the flesh and coming into the modes by which human beings live, that includes the family and includes also the mode by which most human beings come into existence.
Right.
All but one have come into existence, right? Or God's, Jesus was not a human being; he's a divine person who took on human nature. So, heresy alert! But you know,
okay, exactly right. We are getting ready to have to cast you out.
Yeah. But
Tom picked up a donut. He picked up one of the stale donuts. He was getting ready to lob it at you.
But all human beings came about through that natural process, and if you look at, you know, whether it's that, whether it's food. You know, the family, all the things that are basic to the necessities of human life and human thriving, God has made holy in a variety of ways. I mean, food, the Eucharist, the Eucharistic table. I mean, there's a variety of and the church through its celebrations.
He shows us in a fallen and broken world that everything that is fallen and broken was not intended to be fallen and broken.
Right.
And everything, essentially he perfects. Right, by his coming into, he ratifies, he justifies, he redeems human nature, because human nature is fallen, right?
Yeah.
But he says, like, look, it was not intended to be so. And I am the path to lift you out of the doldrums of fallen humanity and show you perfection.
Well, there's an early church father, St. Maximus of Turin, who gave a famous homily that typically arrives, you hear it a lot of times, excerpts from it at the end of the Christmas season at the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord, but it's still the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord is a part of our Christmas celebrations, right? You might not know the name St. Maximus of Turin, but you've heard, in all likelihood, at some point in your life, if you're a Catholic, you've probably heard priests say that, you know, in terms of dealing with the question of, like, why did Jesus need to get baptized? And it's like, no, he came and he made the waters holy for us, right? So he stepped into those those waters to make the baptismal waters holy for us, to lead us, to show us what we needed to do in order to follow him. And I think that same sort of analysis that St. Maximus of Turin applies to the waters of baptism for us, Jesus, he stepped into every aspect of human life, and beginning with the family, beginning with the womb of the womb, and then entering into that family life, and he spent his childhood being vulnerable to Joseph and Mary, and allowing himself to be just at their mercy, I think that there's something just beautiful about extending that analysis from St. Maximus of Turin to the entire incarnation of our Lord.
Yeah, beautiful stuff. And then there's just some absent things in the scriptures. You know, the infancy narratives don't cover. I can picture Joseph sitting at the dinner table trying to teach Jesus Common Core math, you know, and far too many papers, far too many pages, you know. But all the human things that we do, Jesus did, except for sin, right? And just to help, I love how you just pointed out, Ziggy, that Jesus essentially leads us. And how many times does Jesus say, "Follow me," right? And when we hear about, you know, at the beginning of his ministry, his public ministry, we start to hear about him gathering his apostles around him, his disciples, and his apostles especially. And it's like, you know, "Follow me, pick up your, you know, follow me, do," and it's like, That's for all of us. We're all supposed to follow him. In fact, we'll follow him into the waters of baptism. That bit about him, why did he have to be baptized? He didn't have any sin. Of course he didn't. He was modeling for us what we're supposed to do. He sanctified the waters, prepared the waters for us, but then he went through, it's kind of like Moses leading the people through the Red Sea. He took us into the waters. And we follow right behind him and go like, "Hey, the water's not so bad."
And I want to go back to something you were saying earlier about St. Joseph, because I think it's an important point, and because
the taking naps.
Well, Saint Joseph stands apart in a very distinct way from both our Lord and our Lady, right? So we've talked about how our Lord took on flesh, but without sin, right? And that, you know, he's not even it's not even proper to say that he's a human being. He's a divine person who took on human nature, right? He's co-eternal with the Father. It's a very special situation. Then you have our Blessed Mother, who is a human being, but she was conceived without sin,
and
right?
protected from the stain of sin all her
and
life.
Protected from the stain of sin all of her life. And then you've got, and so you've got sort of the height of holiness first in Jesus, and then sort of the height of holiness that is possible within a human person, a human being, right? And then you've got Saint Joseph, who does not, whose presence in the Holy Family does not make the Holy Family any less holy, even though he, it's not that he didn't have the Immaculate Conception, right? But what that does is that gives, he's sort of the invitation for all of us to participate in the life of the Holy Family, because, you know, he was, you know, faithful to the graces that he received, and he lived out virtue with faithfulness to God, and, you know, and so, and he completes the picture of the Holy Family, you know, in multiple ways, but he also sort of completes our ability, a place for us within the Holy Family.
He shows us that we can do that too.
Yes.
Because he didn't have all the special graces.
Yes.
I mean, in the same way.
I mean, he definitely had some special graces.
Well,
but
what
on
I'm saying
level.
Is, but yeah, not that level.
Yeah.
Right? And so they didn't have like Latin names for his, you know, how he was conceived or any of that stuff. We did, you know, but the scriptures tell us he was a righteous man. And then there's some things that we can learn from St. Joseph. We can spend a whole show on St. Joseph. One of them I like the most is the fact that he never says a word in scripture. Right?
You can't, should spend a show on
you, him. You cannot quote St. Joseph.
Mm-mm.
Right? There's not a, you know, St. Joseph once said, you can't say that because he didn't say anything. And right. So I love this idea. And then, but he was a man of action and did the things he was, like this is the Feast of the Holy Family in the gospel reading. In the Exodus, he did as the Lord. He was taking a nap again. He did as the Lord, the angel of the Lord, commanded him, and in protection of his family, took his family the flight into Egypt. And it's like he was a man of action. He was a man of the family. He took care of that family. And I would imagine there's not a stray wolf or a bandit or something that was going to come and attack that family, and not even Herod. Right, Joseph was going to take care of business. Now, I imagine that it doesn't say that he was that he was dumb and he couldn't speak, but the reality is his words were not important. It's his actions that were important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's funny because what occurred to me as I was sitting there listening to you was I can't imagine anything scarier than the idea of having a vision of Saint Joseph either awake or while sleeping, and he appears to you and he breaks his silence just to say. No.
That's the terror of demons.
Right.
He's known as the terror of demons.
So Joseph broke his silence to tell me no. Oh,
yeah, exactly.
Man, I would
put the cookie back in the jar. Yeah. I would put the cookie back in the jar. So, man.
And you know what else, though? You know how we all have angels, guardian angels?
Yeah.
Can you imagine the angels that surrounded that family?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my man.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be powerful.
Oh,
yeah, there was nothing getting in there.
Off the charts.
Yeah, but
we probably need to leave them alone.
But but we also need to know, like, this is the Holy Family, and of course we'd go like, well, of course, you know, the President of the United States is going to have that security detail,
right?
But God also affords each one of us. I'm glad you mentioned guardian angels because we each have guardian angels. I think that might even extend to our family has a guardian angel.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
right?
Totally.
And so it's like I think if we avail ourselves to the supernatural, to what God has in store for us, these supernatural graces, that we will realize that God loves us so much. Not only would He send His Son to redeem us, right, to die for us, but also He would send His angels to protect us.
Oh, yeah.
And so we just need to avail ourselves of that protection. And that's what we need in this world, because I would imagine some folks might be listening to this program and wondering, like, okay, so I get all this stuff with the Holy Family, but my family... Lord, if you saw my family, my family is messed up, right? Now, I'm not talking about Bess. Bess is wonderful. Hi, Bess. You know, I'm not going to say that. Well, okay, I am. But the point is, she would say the same thing about all of us and realize that, you know, we live in a fallen world. We're a human family. And so there's going to be foibles. There are going to be problems. There are going to be issues. There are going to be stumbling blocks, obstacles, right? No family is perfect. And yet, in some way, God intended for us to find our salvation in the context of family, just like we see our salvation, Jesus, born into the context of family. That means our families are important. Mm-hmm. And then if you say to the Lord, how can I be saved? Have you seen the family you gave me? Mm-hmm. It's messed up. And I think God would say, and it starts with you, you know, you're just as messed up as everybody else.
It's kind of like when Adam says, look at this wife you gave me.
That's right. It's the woman. It's the double denial, right? It's the woman that you gave me. I had nothing to do with it. I was watching football at home. And all of a sudden, you know, she brings me this apple. I'm thinking, okay, it's dinner. You know, it's a snack. But anyway, you know, we think that way. But at the end of the day, we have God loves us so much that he knows we need to be in this family context. And so no matter how broken and messed up our family is, this is why these family holiday times, the times where we come together as family, traditionally, so like the, you know, whether it's birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, funerals, Thanksgiving, Easter, and especially like at Christmas time where we all gather together, it's an opportunity for us to realize that the brokenness, the sinfulness, the messed upness that surrounds you, that's your salvation. So you need to care for it. You need to start the process of healing in those families. And if you've got some folks you haven't been talking to, there's some people that you're holding grudges, things that are weighing you down because they're burdens that you carry, much like, you know, Jacob Marley's long chains and counting boxes and books and all this, the ledgers and his stuff he's dragging behind him, these forged over these years. We need to start cutting those things loose. And so that's an active thing. Mm-hmm. Be like St. Joseph and be active in trying to protect, heal, love your family, even in its brokenness.
Well, and also we were talking about this before the show, that the world makes it hard sometimes for families to come together in a pure and innocent way, you know, because a lot of times when you hear...
You think?
When you hear family...
exactly.
When you hear, like,
he's just now picking up on that. It's brand new to him.
But when you hear, thanks, Copernicus. But when you hear, like, family entertainment, family movies, a lot of them are... Or Christian movies, a lot of them are kind of cheesy. They're not that, right, you know, great. If somebody goes and makes a great family film that the family can watch, everyone can get something out of it, especially it's great if it's spiritually uplifting, but even if it's just something that is pure and wholesome and good and is, you know, can be communally enjoyed, the filmmakers who make that kind of material, they're doing something countercultural and they're doing something that's good for the family. And actually, I have a friend, Nicole, who is launching a channel called Sala Cine, and it's oriented towards trying to have quality family content, available, you know, for families to be able to watch together. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think I really would like to challenge us in if there's people on Radio Land who are interested in becoming filmmakers or you know, TV, you know, and entering that kind of world. You know, I would really encourage you to pray to our Lord and ask, Lord, how might you guide me to use my gifts and talents to help benefit the kingdom? Because things like, little things like that, like family entertainment, can make a big difference.
I have noticed a lot of...
That's a good point.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of really good, like, comedy coming out lately. A lot of the comedians, I mean, I think of Nate Bargatze and out of Nashville area, and people like that. Brian Regan is somebody Tom and I, started
following.
You introduced
me to him.
Many
Pete
years
Holmes
ago.
Holmes is very fun. Yeah.
And there's this organization called Dry Bar Comedy. You see them all the time on, they got a Facebook channel, and they're constantly putting stuff. I will sit there and watch that, and you'll laugh and laugh and laugh, and then you'll realize at the end of it, there wasn't a dirty word or really a dirty thought in there. Yeah. It was just like real family life. It was just what happens and what's funny. It's dad jokes. It's the stuff that's like, and there's a sort of a resurgence or a rebirth in dad jokes. Mm-hmm. They're getting really popular again. Why? I think people are hungering. I think people are hungering for purity. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize it that way. But this is, again, a gift of the Holy Family, is this seeking of purity and knowing that you can, hey, you can live in this broken world and you just, you fall down, you pick yourself, you dust yourself up off, you stand up and you try again and you move forward. You know, and we laugh at the obstacles, because that's all those obstacles that are trying to tear you down, that's just Satan missing. Right? That's just Satan lobbing a water balloon at you or whatever, and it's glancing off of you because you're able to get back up and you're able to do your thing. And this is really important, I think, and why the Feast of the Holy Family, I think, is so important, is because the Holy Family actually comes to meet us where we are. It's not, yes, the Holy Family is a lofty goal. It is something that, but because as you pointed out, Sam, Saint Joseph helps us to understand that we can do it too, right? We can do this too, and so that's why we need to kind of start to focus on what we can do in this world to make this world a better place. And I promise you, there's not going to be any salvation that comes to the world that's not intended to be found in the context of a family, mm-hmm. starting with the Holy Family, but then also pouring down into your family. Your right. family can, your family in heaven is going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. It's going to be your family. It's going to be the same imperfect people, but assuming everyone gets into heaven, and that's what we pray for, that's, we're going to live in perfection. Mm-hmm. Right? And how beautiful, what a great goal. So let's start trying to taste some of that perfection now by forgiving, by loving, by embracing, and by coming together in a way that we are modeling ourselves after the Holy Family. So let's ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to be with us here in this. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.